Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
As we begin this morning, I want us to just start out right in prayer, and then we're going to dive into our topic this morning. Probably a topic you've never heard in church before. I know I've never preached it in church before, I don't think, but I really felt like the Lord wants us to go there. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that these next few moments that we have looking at your scripture, that you would just speak to our hearts. May we be tender before you. May you be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For the next several weeks, we're stepping into a new series. Perhaps you saw it on the email blast that went out Friday. You see it on the screen. But I want to talk to you over the subject of church hurt. How many have ever heard a message dealing with the subject of church hurt? Okay, one of us have. The other of us all should be leaning in. Okay, because we're going to deal with this topic this morning and over the next several weeks. And you could define church hurt this way. It's the pain inflicted by a religious institution or by the people within the religious institution that have hurt many people. How many know church hurt is real? Right? I won't take hands and ask you the question, have you ever been hurt by a church? Because I just won't do that. But let me just share some personal experiences with you, just from my life. When I was probably 2 years into my walk of faith, I was youth pastoring out in western Kansas in the metropolis of Oakley, Kansas. And my youth pastor back in Colorado had a huge impact on my life. Discipled me, showed me what it meant to follow Jesus, showed me what it meant to be a student of the word, to preach the word and whatnot. So he had a big influence on my life and several of my friends. And as we were youth pastoring, granted, you know, back in that day, the speed limit was 55 miles an hour, so it took you forever to get back to Fort Collins. So, you know, we're 4 or 5 hours from where I grew up, and I started to, in conversation with friends, just started to hear some things that were going on in my home church, the church that I got saved at that was precious to me, that involved my youth pastor, just some doctrinal things, some theological things, some authority things that were going on that weren't unhealthy. And I saw what was going on affecting my friends. I saw it affecting pastoral staff on that church that I love so dearly. To this day, some of my friends that were like instrumental in leading me to Christ, those relationships aren't near what they used to be. I know all about church hurt. I saw family units get ripped apart because of what was going on. It's very real. It's very personal. I've sat in church business meetings as a staff pastor and saw people respond to a vote that was, you just sit back and you just go, you just responded that way? And in here? Over that? So, I mean, it's very real, all right? And I get it. And there are many in this room where you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, you've been frustrated, you've been angry with the church. I'm guessing the majority of those situations that you've felt are probably justified. Maybe they festered and became more than they needed to be, but nonetheless, it doesn't discount what you were feeling. Every year, 2.7 million people leave their local church. Many leave because of hurt. Many leave because they're distracted and they've walked away because just the chaos of life and the distractions of life. Nonetheless, church hurt is a real issue. And there's unintentional hurt, right? Sometimes the church or a Christian never meant to hurt somebody, but a decision happened and a hurt happened. or an expectation was made, and they thought that the church would meet all, they would meet that need, they would meet that expectation, and it didn't happen. They thought maybe that they would receive a leadership role, but that leadership role never came to be, so they got offended, and so they left, or they thought that the church didn't care about others' well-being, so they walked away. Maybe a person felt like they were serving in an area of ministry, and they were serving, and they were serving, and they were serving, and they never thought that there was an exit ramp anywhere. No one ever asked, hey, would you like to step away and take a break? And so they took a break, and they walked away. How many know it's okay to take a break? Right? It's okay. If you need a timeout for a season, that's okay. But the game's going on, and you need to get back in the game. Maybe a person felt like they were, somebody said something to them, and it was unintentional, and it hurt. If I could just be a pastor, in which I am, if I could be your pastor and just talk to you for a second, for a moment, sometimes we say things that are totally unintentional, totally innocent. We're not meaning anything by them. But because of where that person has been or things going on in their life, they've been away. And when we come to them and say something to them, it's like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or maybe you didn't even know that that was the wrong thing to say. Let me just like give you a case in point, okay? If someone, and this, we all do this, not even thinking about it. I know I've done it. But if someone has been out of the house for a time, and in the last year and a half, man, we've seen that, right? The best thing that you can do is not go up to them and say, well, hey, I'm Steve. What's your name? I've not seen you for a long time. Have we ever met? It's in good fun, right? We're just being fun. But what we don't know is maybe you were the fifth person that did that. Have you ever tried to go to sleep at night when there's a rattling going on in your house, or there's a dripping faucet? Or you know what I'm talking about, where it's just like, that, you know, wasn't necessary. Better yet, instead of doing something like that, if you notice someone out of pocket, why don't you call and check on them? Because that's what the body does, right? Don't do the funny reintroduce yourself. That's all in good spirits, and that's all in good funds. But man, again, if... don't do that if you're not doing the other. Maybe the church wasn't there for them in their moment of need. It was unintentional, but it happened. Maybe there was intentional hurt. Sometimes the church or a group of people meant to hurt somebody. I mean, it's like hard to fathom that that would happen, right? But yet we know that that's happened. Perhaps you've experienced that. Someone gossiped about you. People being hypocrites. Spiritual abuse was happening. I'm walking through a book right now, and it's just unpacking some of the spiritual abuses that have occurred within churches, and it's really discouraging, but the church is a good thing because the church is God's idea, and so it can be life-producing. Amen? Amen? The church is God's idea, so it should be life-producing, and it should be good. Amen? All right, thank you. Maybe it was because the pastor had an affair, or they stole money, or there was sexual abuse going on, or the church folk were fighting. We were a part of a church that went through a really difficult time. We were on staff at that church, and as this event unfolded, somebody from the congregation purchased, and don't you ever do this. But someone within that congregation purchased an ad in the local paper and aired stuff because it was an advertisement. No matter how hurt you may be, don't ever do stuff like that. And we didn't have social media in that day, so the same would be said using social media for junk like that, right? And we'll unpack some stuff. Aren't you glad you came? I can just see it on your face today. I'm in a bad mood because the Broncos stink. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you've seen church politics. So track with me. Whether it was intentional or it was unintentional, we know that those things hurt and they cut deep. Why? Because the church is supposed to be a place of healing and not hurt. It's supposed to be a place where to reflect Christ, not to be a place where people are cantankerous. It's a place of hope and not hopelessness. It's a place of safety and not selfishness. It's a place of grace and not gossip. It's a place of purpose and not pain. It's a place of worship and not wounds. It's a place of hope and not hate. And as we begin today, you may be asking, why are we talking about a subject like this? Is there a problem, Steve, in the house? Let me just say this. I believe in preventative preaching. Amen? But if there's problems, we will address problems because you know me well enough, I'm not afraid to address stuff. But I believe in preventative preaching where we create and we protect a healthy climate so that things can flourish. Are we a perfect church? Absolutely not. Do we handle everything correctly? Absolutely not. But our heart, our strive should be, you know what? I'm going to protect the health and the climate of this church so that it can flourish. We know that we live and we are living in a climate as a nation where the climate is a climate of offense, where offense is everywhere. And so people are choosing to feed that, to lean into that, to lean into maybe a position that, and in that, as they're leaning, and they're leaning maybe well and good, but in that, they're taking on offense, and they're not living towards reconciliation. The church is to be a place of hope. The hope of the church is the Imago Dei. And so trust me, I went back and forth on doing this series. I mean, I talked to the staff about it. I talked to my wife about it. I'm like, you know, I really feel like I'm supposed to do this. What do you guys think? And they're like, hey, you're up there alone. Go for it. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't say that. They were very supportive. And I wrestled, I mean, even wrestling with and talking to Robin as of like Monday. I'm like, I don't know if I want to, I don't know. I'm not very excited about this series, but I don't know if I want to do this because part of it was what was happening was it was bringing up some old memories of things that were done to us or things that we saw done. And so, you know, the first 3 years of ministry for us, we saw some things that really the first 3 years, 4 years of marriage, we saw some things that, you know, we're looking back this week and it's like, man, it's amazing that we are still in the ministry with some of the stuff that we saw. But I love the church. I believe in the church. There's incredible hope and value in the church. And so I was waffling even as of Monday afternoon, and I began studying. I knew where I was going to go today, but I began studying Tuesday, and just like, oh man, Jesus, if you would come today, I'd be great, you know, as I'm studying. And all of a sudden, I hear the church doors open, and someone comes in, and so I get up. No one, it's in the afternoon, so no one's around on this end of the building anyway. And I step out, and I greet an individual. I've never met him before. And they were like, hey, they were asking about the church. And so I was talking to him about LifePoint and just kind of trying to paint a picture of who we are and what we're about and what our vision is and stuff. And they said, I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. We've not connected into a church or fairly new to our community. I've had a lot of discouraging things happen. I've seen a lot of stuff and a disappointing stuff. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm studying about it right now, you know? And she's like, yeah. And I wasn't fishing for anything, but I was just, she said these words. I was in a church on a Sunday. She didn't say where it was. And the police walked in and they arrested my pastor in the middle of service. And I was like, okay, God, I'll preach the message. Right? And all of that to say this, church hurt's real. But church hurt isn't anything new. Not to justify it, not to excuse it. It's all throughout the Bible. Even Christ experienced church hurt. Look at it in Matthew chapter 21. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. At the house of God, people were taking advantage of others and stealing from them. They were putting themselves before others. They were hindering the worship of other people. And Jesus is seeing this, and it's frustrating. It's hurting him. It's ticking him off, and he starts flipping tables. The early church attenders experienced church hurt. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we read this, and in these days when the disciples were increasing in numbers, incredible things are happening, the church is growing, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. The church was supposed to be taking care of the widows. But they weren't, at least not the Hellenist widows. Those widows felt like they were being overlooked, they were being ignored. We don't know if it was intentional or if it was just a crazy time and because so many people were coming to faith in Jesus and so many things were happening that they just were innocently overlooked. But we read here in Acts 6 that there was church hurt going on. Paul, the apostle, addresses this issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For you are still of the flesh, for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? He's writing to the church. For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? So he's writing to Christians, he's writing to the church, and he's saying, listen, let's deal with this stuff. James, the half-brother of Jesus, addresses this issue as he wrote his epistle in James chapter 4, verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Notice what's going on. The church had, he's writing the church. You're having issues with jealousy, you're waging war, you're quarreling. It's crazy. In the coming weeks, we'll deal with some topics, but we're going to wrap up this series in a few weeks talking about why I believe in the church, why you should believe in the church. So church hurt isn't a new issue. If you have been hurt, you're not the first. And I'm not saying that to dismiss the scar, but just to acknowledge the reality of broken people make up the church. And broken people do things, unfortunately, that break people. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes this, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not even tolerant among the pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. How many know that's messed up? Right? That's messed up. Understand, the Apostle Paul just didn't address church hurt. He experienced it personally. And we'll spend the remainder of our time this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go there if you would. I want you to see this, and I want you to make some notes within your Bible. If you have a Bible that you could write in, or you're taking notes in your journal, or however you would do that, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church. Scripture does your mind good. Amen? It refreshes your heart. It strengthens your spirit. It gives you a proper perspective by which to do and to navigate life. Verse 9, it says this. Paul writes to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." As you read that, it becomes very clear that the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote the majority of our New Testament, experienced church hurt. In the time of his greatest need, he was alone. He felt unsupported. No one came came to him to support him or to stand by him. I mean, he wasn't, as he was in prison and alone in prison and dealing with Demas leaving him and forsaking the things of God for the things of the world and dealing with that disappointment. He wasn't sitting in prison singing B.E. King, "Stand By Me," because nobody was there for him. And Paul experienced church hurt. So what I want to address today is this. What I want to try to answer is this. What do you do when you've been hurt by the church? How should you respond when you are dealing with church hurt? That's a fair question. Because we know that there's not going to be a perfect church, right? Because you and I are a part of it. And we're going to talk about that today and over the next couple weeks. We're going to deal with some other things, and we'll end up, as I've already said, dealing with why I believe in the church. Man, I love the church. I'm grateful for the church. The church is beautiful when it's reflecting Christ to one another and to the world. So here's what I'm praying for. For God to heal hearts. If there's hearts that have been hurt, that we would have a love for the church like never before, that you would be crazy about this thing called the church, that I'm praying, Lord, if there's necessary conversations, that they would happen if and when, if it's necessary. Lord, I'm praying as well that we would bring people with us to church who've been, people that have been hurt by the church perhaps, people that need to see a healthy church. So today, I want us to learn from the Apostle Paul and what he did when he encountered church hurt from our text today. There are some principles in our text today that are powerful in overcoming church hurt. The first one is simply this: acknowledge the hurt. Look what he did. Don't pretend it didn't happen. Don't pretend it didn't hurt. Acknowledge it. Be real. Don't be fake about it. On the outside, everything is not always good or fine. Right? We joke in our house when we say, "How's it going?" And one of us say, "Oh, it's fine." We know that's like code word to say, "Okay, talk to me. What's going on?" When on the inside, you're getting squeezed and it hurts. It disappointed you. It hurts you. Learn from Paul. Think about Demas. Paul says, man, he deserted me. We don't know how long he traveled with Paul. We don't know a lot about his background, but we know that obviously he had a relationship with Paul. Paul had deposited in him. He had traveled with Paul, but he forsook the kingdom of God, forsook the things of God for the world. There's Alexander. Paul says, he did me great harm. Then Paul says, no one helped me. No one came to my defense. How important that we get connected and that we're aware of what's going on around us and that we're sensitive to that so that we would not be like those that Paul is speaking about, but that we would step into times of needs and we would ask questions, and you may not have the answer. I mean, there's so much stuff going on right now. You don't have probably some of the answers that people are asking, but what you can do is step with them. To carry the burden, to carry the disappointment, not to cause dissension or division, or to say, you know what, I'm right, and I know that I'm right, and you're wrong, and how you're responding is wrong, and get all cloudy in some things. But to hear someone say, I'm hurting, or for you to say, I'm hurting, and here's what I'm going through. Maybe it's been LifePoint that's hurt you. Robin and I have been here for 7+ years, and we've never intentionally tried to hurt anybody. We've never stole the church van or anything else. When I make copies and they're personal copies on the copy machine, I'm quick to go to the office and pay for my copies because I want to live above reproach. I've never had an affair. By the grace of God, I never will. To my knowledge, none of the other pastors, current or past, have been pastors that have done anything like that. But I realize it would be naive to say that LifePoint hasn't ever hurt someone. Decisions have been made that maybe unintentionally hurt. People said or didn't say things that brought pain. People did or didn't do things that you thought maybe they should have done or didn't do, and it brought pain, it brought frustration. Believers have lived in a way that is unbecoming and it's sinful through the years, and you've seen it, and it brought hurt into your life. All I can say with all my heart is I'm sorry. If it's been Robin or I, or if it's been someone else in the church family that has brought hurt, I'm sorry. If you come from another church and you're attending LifePoint and that church hurt you, it disappointed you, it maybe abused you, I can't apologize specifically for that church, but I can apologize on behalf of the Capital C Church. I'm sorry. If you lean towards the Lord, He can heal those wounds. He can heal your heart. He can renew your faith. In fact, the big idea through this series is renewing hearts and healing faith. So, first, acknowledge our hurt. Secondly, we do this. Be confident that the Lord will deal with those who hurt you. And that's not for you and I to go, yes, yeah. But when you're hurting, don't hurt others. Don't get your anger spray out, right? And just start. We all know the adage, hurt people, hurt people. We know the adage, share hope, not hurt. Some of those seem so trite. But if we give those people who hurt us over to God, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, God will deal with those people who hurt us. That's exactly what Paul did. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. Says the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. I'm not saying that Alexander, and it's, you would kind of read into that Alexander maybe was in opposition to the church. He wasn't for Christ or the message of Christ, but Paul knew the secret to overcoming hurt was to turn the people over to the Lord. Don't try to get even. Don't try to retaliate. Don't go TP their house. Don't do any. Give them to the Lord. Let God fight for you. Paul says the Lord will repay him. He says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Don't take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. In other words, this idea of leave room. Don't fill the space with you. Don't leave your fingerprints on the situation. Leave room for God to work. If you take matters into your own hands, then we haven't left room for God to work. If we decided to work instead of allowing God to work, then it's not going to come out right. The best advice, and you've heard me say this before, when we were going through a situation, it was our first experience, it was our second experience in youth ministry, our first one coming out of Bible college, and we kind of became the fall guy for some stuff that was happening at the church, and we took the bullet, and they fired me. And the best advice that I got from a spiritual leader was this: Steve, as you walk through this, if you will do Matthew 5:8, you'll come out okay. If you don't do Matthew 5:8, you will lose. You won't come better. You won't become better. You'll become bitter, and you will lose. You will lose your sight for what the church is and what the church can be. You will become angry, and you will become not the person God has for you to be. And you're like, what's Matthew 5:8? Matthew 5:8 is this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And in that season, man, Robin and I hung on to that, and that became like our anchor point. And God navigated us through that situation and through that season, and we never lost hope in the church. We never lost our vision for what God was calling us to. And God strengthened us through that time. But we had to hang on to that, and we had to allow God work in that space. Don't fill the space when you have a hurt. Give the person, give the people over to the Lord. Let God fight the battle for you. Leave room for God's wrath if necessary. I won't take time to unpack what that would mean, but we have to be confident that if we give them to God, that God will deal with those who hurt you. It doesn't mean that we're sitting around hoping and rubbing our hands in anticipation. It's just a confidence that God has you covered. Number three is don't confuse God's people with God. When people get hurt by God's people, they can start thinking that God is like the people. Unfortunately, the church always doesn't look like Christ. Have you figured that out yet? Church people will hurt you. The world will hurt you, but God will never hurt you. Church people will lack integrity at times, but God is righteous and never lacks integrity. God is holy, but his church can act unholy. Church people are broken people. Don't confuse church people with God. It was Gandhi who said, I like your Christ, I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Sometimes that's true about us today or the church today. Paul did not let the pain of the church people stop him from trusting the Lord. Look at it, what it says in verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't allow church people to cause you to stop trusting in a great God. Don't allow disappointments from other disciples to distract you from being the bride of Christ. Don't allow those pains to make you prickly yourself. If you trust God in spite of what the church people did, the Lord will strengthen you. Trust God in the middle of the pain, and the Lord will rescue you. And let me just say this. As we unpack, and it's clear today that the church isn't perfect and the church is broken at times and hurts people, and we all experience pain from it. But that doesn't give you permission, if you're a follower of Jesus, to disconnect from the church. It's part of the Imago Dei. It's part of the body of Christ. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to love the things that Jesus loves. Jesus loves his church. He's coming back for his church. That means you need to be in the church, a part of the body of Christ, connected somewhere. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. I mean, I know that doesn't shout us down and it doesn't get us excited, but it is what it is. We are the body of Christ. A body, you cut off your arm today, you're not going to go back to your arm in 2 weeks and be able to reattach it. You need to be connected. In all of our imperfections as a body, as a the capital C church, it's still the body of Christ. Trust God in the middle of the pain and the Lord will rescue us. Number four, don't give up on all people because of some people. And this is huge. Paul didn't allow some people to cause him to give up on all people. Here's what Paul knew. He knew that in spite of some people hurting him, in spite of some people disappointing him, he still needed the church. The great apostle Paul needed the church. Why would we think that we would be okay without it? Look at what he says in verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love for the present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: get here as fast as you can. What is he saying? I need you. Demas deserted me. Alexander did me harm. But Timothy, I need you. Please, please, please get here quickly. Look at verse 11. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark. Bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Paul says, people have hurt me. People have deserted me. People have let me down. But I have not given up on people. Bring Mark to me. He is helpful to me. He is useful to me. And here's the backstory. Here's what Paul knew. It is people who will bring hurt, but it's also people who will bring healing, help, and health to your life. And that is why being here is so important. That is why being connected to a life group is so important. That is why being active and engaged and communicating with other believers and doing life with them is so, so important. Did you know at one point Paul had written off Mark? In Acts chapter 15, verse 36, Mark bailed on a trip. Paul writes about that. He talks about that in Acts 15. You read about it in Acts chapter 13. But in Acts chapter 15, verse 39, it tells us that there was, because of Mark bailing, Barnabas wanted to bring Mark back and head back out on a missions trip with Paul and Barnabas and Mark. And Paul's response to that was like, nuh-uh. We can't count on him. He bolted. When things got tough last time, he bolted. He's a mama's boy. He wanted his peanut butter and jelly, and we were eating cockroaches. We can't trust him. I don't want him with us. And so this division, this disagreement happened between Paul and Barnabas regarding Mark, and Barnabas said, I want him. And so Barnabas and Mark went one way, Paul and Silas went another way. And yet now, Paul is going here in 2 Timothy, bring Mark to me. Maybe you're new to LifePoint, and perhaps you've been away from church because you've been disappointed by the church. If you're new to LifePoint, I want to invite you to our Starting Point class. It's going to be happening November 7th. It's in the bulletin, but we're doing a luncheon, and then we'll unpack what we're about and who we are and that luncheon, and then have 2 weeks of a class just talking more about LifePoint and our direction and where you fit and giftings and all this stuff. I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that class. If you're like, well, man, it's a luncheon. I've been here for 6 years, but I've never been to that luncheon. Can I come? No. It's for new people. All right? I would love for you to be there. The fifth principle is this. Number five, don't forfeit your purpose because of your pain. Paul didn't allow his pain to stop his purpose. How many know? Listen to me. Pain won't stop your purpose, but the wrong reaction to pain will stop your purpose. I'm going to just say that again. Pain won't stop your purpose, but a wrong reaction to pain will stop your purpose. We have to learn to respond to pain the wise way, the healthy way. Part of that requires forgiving people. Look at it, verse 17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. It's almost like you can hear him say, I wanted to give up on people, but the Lord gave me strength. I wanted to move in the gift of slap over that person, but the Lord gave me strength to refuse. I wanted to write that person off, but the Lord gave me strength, and now I want that person to come. Look at it, verse 17. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Why? So he could fulfill his purpose. Look at it. So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, so that I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Pain isn't going to stop your purpose. In spite of some actions of a few church folks or responses of people, it doesn't have to stop your purpose. I was delivered, Paul said, from the lion's mouth. Paul kept his purpose because he didn't allow pain to detour him. Paul lived a life of forgiveness. Look at what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Is that hard? Let's just have an honest pull, all right, because we're family. In the last 19 months, have you had an opportunity? Let's just put it this way. I didn't say that because this softens it a little bit. Have you had an opportunity to be offended? All of us, man. And if you didn't raise your hand, you just offended me because you're not being truthful. Right? All of us have been there. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Demas, I forgive you. Alexander, I forgive you. Mark, I forgive you. Others, I forgive you. He didn't allow the pain and disappointment of others to derail him from his purpose. Pain can't stop God's purpose, but a wrong reaction to pain can. It can stop God's purpose in a local church. I mentioned a business meeting that we sat in, and we saw people respond in an ungodly, horrific way. And that set that church on a cycle of demise. A wrong reaction to pain. Unforgiveness can stop it. Anger will stop it. Getting even will stop it. Hate will stop it. People can't stop your purpose, but you can. And it is essential that we have the right reaction to pain, or it can stop God's purpose in your life. I know that's hard, that's not easy, that's not like a feel-good message, but it's a reality because I've seen it happen over and over and over in my life through years of ministry. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Told you I'm in a bad mood because the Broncos are terrible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. That has nothing to do with it. I'm not in a bad mood. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Look after each other. That's a corporate responsibility. In other words, live with your eyes up. Be aware. Where you mess up, fess up. If someone comes to you, be humble enough to hear what they have to say. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. How do people fail to fulfill the purpose of God in their life? He goes on and says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Trouble you. But that poisonous root won't just trouble you. It's going to corrupt others. That's scary, isn't it? You and I are going to have a lot of opportunities to be affected by poison or to allow bitterness to settle in and not to write any of it off, okay? Not to excuse any of it. But it's called living life in a broken world with a spiritual battle going on around us. Forgiveness isn't easy. Forgiveness can be a daily exercise if the worship team would come. I mean, there's been times in my life where I thought I was past it. Situation unfolded, a relationship went sideways or whatever, and I prayed and I thought I was past it. But then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And I find myself backing up, saying, okay, God, help me. I want to walk in victory. I want to fulfill my purpose. God, I want to walk in a pure heart. Lord, help me to forgive that person. I pray for them. God, I ask blessing over their life. I pray for wisdom over their life. I pray that you'd protect them, help them to walk with a purity of heart and an awareness of what's going on in them and around them, just like I asked that for me. Maybe it's this. I'm not going to let pain steal my purpose. God, will you help me? God, will you heal my heart? God, I may have to do this daily for a while. I may have to be on an ongoing journey of walking through this, but I determine not to let pain steal or stop the purpose of you in my heart and you and the purpose of your kingdom. Forgive the person who hurt you. And there may be some point that you'll have to go to that person and have a conversation. And that's good, and that's healthy. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, I did not still even praying earlier this morning and thinking about how do we wrap up a message like this? Because I know there's some in the room that they've never maybe had deep church hurt, but yet I know there's others, God, that they've been through some horrific situations. And I thank you, God, that they are here. God, as we have all tried and are navigating the last 19 months of stuff. Lord, we've had so many opportunities to get our eyes off of you and onto people's responses or people's opinions or concerns people have. Some of them are just. Some of them are perhaps not just. God, we want to be the Imago Dei. Lord, we want to represent you well. God, we want to stand for your kingdom. And this place that you have us in right now, God, we want to walk through it full of purpose, full of health. And so, Lord, if there's someone here this morning and maybe they have identified it, but God, even talking through it this morning, they find themselves agitated. Lord, we acknowledge that. God, I acknowledge that within myself even. Lord, and this is why I hurt. And maybe you just, as right where you're at, just have that conversation with the Lord. And acknowledge that. But then, right where you're at, I'm going to ask you to simply pray, Lord, help me to love the church like you love the church. And help me to walk in my purpose within your church. Can you just pray that right where you're at in your own words? Some of you may find that very hard to pray, but in the depths of your being, you know that that's the right thing to pray. So reach past the hard and do the right. God, for some, as they pray that, they don't feel a whole lot, but Lord, they know it's the right thing to do. Lord, I pray for them. Oh, Holy Spirit, give them grace. God, give us all vision and your eyes and your heart for the church, your love for the church. God, for those in the room that maybe need to have some necessary conversations or make some necessary confessions. Hey, I said this to you a while back ago. It was in jest. It was just in fun, but I understand. I never even called to check on you, and then I'm just rubbing you and poking you. Forgive me. God, if we need to have those type of necessary confessions, then Lord, let us humble ourselves and walk it out. God, if we need to go to somebody and say, hey, I've seen this and I'm concerned and I want to just walk with you through this, and I want you to know that I'm standing with you and for you and praying for you. God, if we need to have those conversations like the Apostle Paul had when he confronted Peter in Galatians, God, help us. But the heart of it, the motive of it, is reconciliation. God, we love you. And I know this is, in some ways, a very heavy topic this morning. But God, we are talking about your church. It's a church that is going to live for eternity because it's the bride of Christ. So it's well worth the focus and the time this morning. God, we celebrate you. We love you. Can you just right now, before I ask you to stand, will you just pray for your church? God, we pray for LifePoint. We pray that we would see people come to know you and to come to faith in Christ. down in the kids area. God, anoint the team down there. Anoint Pastor Nathaniel and everyone that's serving in that area. God, help them to be sensitive to the needs of the kids. And Jesus, that kids would be coming to faith in Christ every day. For our youth, God, pray for Pastor Levi and Tia and the team. God, I thank you for them and their heart for our students. And we pray, God, for salvation of our students and for the students in our community and the surrounding area, God, that there would be a mighty revival among this young generation that is wanting to see authentic realities of your kingdom lived out. God, may that happen. And Lord, pray for the adults. Lord, help us fulfill that picture that you have of your church. And do it even before we leave this place today. Lord, we love you. And we give you praise. And be glorified. Help us to walk this out. And anyone that doesn't know you yet, has never asked you to be their Lord and Savior, today, Father God, in a message like this, Holy Spirit, I know that you're able to work and you're able to call people home to yourself. And if somebody needs to do that in this place, I pray, Lord, that they would say, I want to follow Jesus. Lord, be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to stand in right relationship with you, not based on what I do, but based on what you've done and who you are, and that I can be a son, daughter of the Most High God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.